Welcome back. It's Nate with a private service announcement for you. 2 weeks ago, I had an interaction with somebody that I just met that I haven't been able to shake. I've been thinking about this for weeks now, and I wanted to share this with you. I was at a social function. I don't want to give too many details about this person or where I was, but at this social function, I was talking with a guy that I had met only one time before. Hadn't really had any real conversations with him yet. So we had some, we had a casual conversation, some small talk, asking about what we do. The topic of our work came up. He asked me what I do for work. So I told him, yeah, I'm a counselor for children and youth. And he asked me, kids counseling. But is that work? So today, I've been thinking about this for weeks, and I really wanted to make my first installment of my new life lesson series about this very thing, about what not to say to a counselor for children and youth who have been exposed to domestic violence. So in my regular circles of friends, the people that I spend time around, I would say that this isn't actually the first time I've heard a statement like this, but it's definitely the first in a long time. I have a group of people around me that have a pretty solid basis of understanding what I do. They have an idea of what I am trying to accomplish as a kids counselor. But for those of you who do not know, let me just quickly give you the 1-2 on what this is. I'm a counselor for children and youth who have witnessed abuse in their home. So kids that have gone through traumatic experiences with adults in their home or other significant male and female role models in their lives, I am working as a supportive counselor for these kids, working in a psychoeducational program through the Victoria Women's Transition House. I did a degree in this, and after 4 years of studying, I got a wonderful job with great mentorship, and I'm loving every minute of my work. What I get to do is special and challenging and apparently not well known. It's not something that I'm surprised about in any means, but it's always startling or interesting, at least when this conversation comes up. But is that work? But what you do, is that really work? I think the big question that's being asked is about the validity of my profession. What this guy was bringing forward really was a question. He was asking me about what I do. But the problem was, his question implied that there's some sort of dichotomy between what I do and what real work is. My work versus real work. So my work as a kids counselor, a child counselor, whatever you want to call it, is painted as if it's a babysitter gig, or maybe it's even just volunteer playtime. Is what you do really work? It has an idea that, well, there is real work and there is what you do, which is not quite the same of the same level of work. You might compare that to what traditional work has been known to be, something like doing a trade or owning a business, something like that. I mean, what this really boils down to for me is that working with children, any sort of child work, is significantly less valued than many other professions. I've run into this in my studies, I've run into this in the real world, and this one interaction is just an example of it. People wonder what I do. People wonder what working with children looks like. And it has an implication that people think it's less important or less valued, despite the fact that there are a number of things I have to work past and work beyond to make the most of my position, to be effective in my position. So, for instance, the fact that children are not full adults requires a separate set of skills. You could think about working with, let me put it this way, think about somebody that you are working alongside that maybe is difficult to be around. Maybe you don't like the person. Maybe what they do they give a substandard level of care to their work. Maybe they just care so little that they do a terrible job and you hate that. Or maybe they make such a big deal out of every detail of their job that it makes your work look subpar and you don't like it for that. For whatever reason, working with adults, there is an ability to, if you want to express how you're feeling and have a clear conversation. But kids are so much different in the fact that they don't necessarily have their brain fully developed. Nobody has their brain fully developed until about 24, 25 years of age, most recent research has said. So that separate set of skills that I have to pull on a daily basis is exasperated things that you have to have with people in a normal adult situation. So patience, number one. Working with kids requires massive patience. The things that kids say sometimes are ridiculous. Also, just having an ability to have humor and imagination. How are you supposed to work with kids that have grandiose and sometimes completely incorrect versions of the world, maybe idealized, imaginative ideas or fantasies, dreams, things that they want to do as they grow up, just all sorts of non-realities that kids have. You have to work, be able to kind of give space for that and work through that with them. Also, just being warm in general is a part of patience, but being able to be approachable and warm is a massive thing that I have to draw on in my everyday interactions with the kids I'm doing counseling with. Another thing that I have to run into in my job as a child counselor is working with those children's caregivers. So I have to balance their expectations, and usually I'm working alongside the mothers of these children, but sometimes the fathers as well. So balancing the expectations of the caregivers can be a challenge when every parent has different ideals for what they want their kids to know or what they want their kids to believe or understand, because every one of the children that come through my program, when I say children, I'm talking between the ages of 3 to 18. So youth would also be classified as children. I work with them. So what I'm saying here with caregivers, mothers, fathers, sometimes when they want certain ideals or beliefs to be what their children grow up believing, you have to work alongside the caregivers as well. You have to work alongside them to be effective with their kids, because if you have, let's say there's a family that is not really great at expressing their emotions, and the parents don't like to directly say what the child has done wrong. Maybe they've broken a rule, or maybe they've done something that is deemed irresponsible or just bad. Instead of, in this example, a parent might not actually say what it is the kid did wrong, but will just ground them or make them think about what you have done, give them all the opportunity to think on it themselves, but not actually give that example themselves. So if I were to be working with a parent maybe that has this ideal that you have to figure it out on your own, it doesn't really jive with the curriculum that we have in terms of being clear and assertive with children and with the people that you're around, whether you're an adult or a kid. Being assertive is an important skill, and it's the best way to express what you want and how you're feeling in a calm way. All that to say, working with caregivers that have different ideas of what they want their kids to know or believe, that's a major challenge in itself. And just another thing that I might run into, that you all will run into when you're around kids, is that it's hilarious. Kids can be brutally honest. I'll give one example. I'm working with a kid, and just a few weeks ago, he broke it down to me, and he did not sugarcoat it one bit. He told me that, "I like the other counselor better than you." This kid was like 10 years old. I mean, good on him for saying it. I mean, not my jokes are pretty terrible sometimes, but it, when I really talked with him about it later, it was more about how he felt closer with that counselor because he shared something important with that counselor, and there was a good, they had a great conversation. And since then, he was thinking the other counselor was the person that he wanted to spend time with. Great, I'm glad that he explained it to me. But if I were a different person and I wasn't able to take that brutal honesty, I'm gonna have problems in my work. All this to say, sometimes there are responses to, I guess what I'm trying to say here, that sometimes people would have responses like, "You're reading too far into what this guy said to you, Nate. You're reading too far into what he said." I'm just gonna say what I'm thinking about this. This statement for me is a little bit of a cop out. It's a way for someone to avoid holding the responsibility of their own words. It's a way for them to bypass the consequences of any sort of ignorance or misconceptions about my work. If somebody says to me, "I'm reading too far into what this guy said," remember, this guy, in a random casual conversation with me about my work, he said, "Is that work?" Somebody might say to me, "You're reading too far into this," but it actually works as a way to minimize the effect of that comment. It means they don't have to hold the responsibility of their own words as much, because if I'm reading too far into it, it's actually just undercutting the validity of my kind of critique. Or maybe somebody else would look at this podcast, look at what I'm saying here, and think to themselves, "Ha, I'd never say anything like that. I'd never ask somebody like a kid's counselor, is what you do work? I mean, I hope so. I hope other people are not going to say something as insensitive as this. But the reality is, more often than not, people have assumptions that are based on stereotypes or non-truths. Sometimes stereotypes are based on truth as well. We all make judgments about what other people do or what other people act like. We all have ideas. Excuse me. We all have ideas of what the best way to live is. We all have ideas of what is best and what is right. We all have beliefs. So it's not that there's a problem with having assumptions. There's not a problem that this guy that was having this conversation with me didn't really know what I do as a kid's counselor, wondering if I'm a babysitter or if I'm playing, doing volunteer work. It doesn't really matter if he has all these stereotypes. It's about how he brings it forward. There are always different options for how to bring forward a question like this. Maybe you, me, other people, we have an opportunity, if you think about it, to come up with a different response. So here's the life lesson from this. Boom, your life lesson is get curious. Let's be real, this interaction, I was thinking about it for weeks. It obviously affected me. I actually had to make a couple renditions of this episode because I was getting a little riled up in what I was trying to say. I wanted to make sure that I got this across in the best way possible and gave other people the opportunity to learn something, just like I am here. And getting curious is what I'm taking away from this. Keep in mind, when this guy asked me this question, but is that work work? Well, it was a question. He was asking a question because there was something about my work he didn't actually know or understand. The problem was, instead of getting curious, he made a little bit insensitive and quite rhetorical mark. He made a rhetorical statement, a remark that I couldn't actually answer. So instead of that, practicing asking good questions is what getting curious means to me. A quick example is, instead of saying, "Oh, kids counseling, is that work work?" he could have asked, "Oh, interesting, what do you do with the kids?" Something like that. Really, getting curious is about finding out some details that you didn't know before. If you have questions, like this guy obviously did, ask a question. Get curious about something today. Get curious about something this week. Look for details about something that maybe you don't have a full picture of. Maybe you have never really heard a firsthand account about what somebody does or what they've experienced on a trip or whatever. Get curious, and I would encourage you to use a what question. My example there, I just said, was, "What do you do with the kids?" That's what he could have asked me. It's a what question, using the word what to begin that statement. What questions do a really good job of bringing out special details, things that you didn't know before. So get curious. That is the life lesson from today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed today's PSA. If you did, please consider subscribing to my podcast so that you get notified whenever I have new ones. Like I've said in my previous podcasts, the two that I've put up so far, I'm not going to be putting up on a regular schedule, but I am putting a lot of effort into what I put up. Do some prep and try and come up with a really succinct and valuable way to convey what I'm experiencing on my day-to-day basis, the things that I want to share with you. So yes, please consider subscribing to my podcast wherever you're listening from, and consider sharing it with somebody who might need to hear a life lesson or two, because I'm going to have plenty more on the way. And I hope that you'll try using a what question with somebody this week. Maybe tomorrow, maybe today, whether this is the morning, afternoon, night, wherever you're listening to this, whenever you're listening to this, get curious. And then when you've used a what question and got curious, please message me. Let me know. Give me some feedback about how you use this advice or what other things have come up for you in response to this. Go get curious about your world. Thanks for tuning in to a private service announcement today. Peace.